Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, April the 3rd. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up on this episode, we hear from a man who was captured in Colombia. He's been telling us how it's continued to inspire him. The brother of a Medway woman is hoping to continue her legacy of helping others detect breast cancer after she lost her own battle at the age of just 29. But first, this is our most read story on the website today. A Kent nurse has backed calls for more education among healthcare workers on a condition that left her in extreme pain. Nicole Scott from St Mary's Island was diagnosed with endometriosis in 2023, following years of being told the problem was in her head. Now, the 31-year-old is supporting a campaign by a leading charity which wants more awareness among GPs and A&E staff. Well, reporter Alex Langridge joins me on the podcast now. Alex, thanks ever so much for being on this episode. Now, you've been chatting to Nicole. What she told you about how the conditions affected her?
So her chronic illness has left her on a strongest dose of morphine, needing a walking stick because it's affected her mobility issues, and using a catheter because it also affects her bladder. She's also had to give up her job as a nurse in the community because it was just taking too much of a toll on her body, and being in and out of pain and bedridden, she just couldn't cope anymore.
And she was recently in hospital. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so before she went into hospital, she had a transvaginal scan on a rare cyst in her uterus. The scan irritated it and she was in a lot of pain over the weekend. By the Sunday, it just became unbearable. She collapsed at home, so was rushed to A&E, couldn't feel her legs, was in and out of consciousness, just in excruciating pain and hysterically crying. However, when she was admitted, the charge nurse said to her, "You need to stop crying. I've had patients in here who have had legs falling off who did not act like you."
And what have the hospital had to say, Alex?
They have apologised to her. They said, "We're very sorry for the distress caused to Miss Scott and acknowledge the pain and difficulties associated with her condition. We strive to provide outstanding and compassionate care to every patient, every time, and we are committed to learning from feedback when we fall short." They have been in touch with her to see how they can act on the concerns raised, and thank you for her feedback about the other positive care that she received at the hospital.
Now, as I mentioned at the very start, Nicole's really keen to raise awareness. Tell us about the campaign she's supporting.
Yeah, so the campaign's a national one, and it's just calling for improved education on gynaecological issues on GPs and A&E practitioners in particular, but also kind of wider healthcare practitioners. The campaign sort of claims at the moment that symptoms, despite being one of the most common conditions, aren't necessarily recognised, meaning there's missed opportunities to help with their care. So it just wants to ensure that healthcare workers are better equipped to put the patients on the right pathway for treatment and support.
Alex, thank you ever so much. Sadly, Nicole wasn't well enough to be on this episode of the podcast. We do wish her all the very best. And we have got more details on endometriosis, the signs and symptoms within the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today: in a Kent teenager's admitted sharing terrorist material online. Leo Walby was arrested in Swanley last October by officers who seized a number of digital devices. They found he'd been sharing extreme Islamist-related terror material through various social media accounts. The 19-year-old pleaded guilty at the Old Bailey and is due to be sentenced in May. A Norfleet man who was caught on a doorbell camera turning up at a home armed with a baseball bat has been ordered to do unpaid work. Daniel Babb had already smashed up his own property with a weapon but tried to claim he was carrying it for protection after being attacked. The 26-year-old from Wallace Park later admitted possessing an offensive weapon when it happened last February. A group who trafficked women to the UK before getting them to work at brothels in Kent have been jailed. Some of the victims were forced to work at sites in Canterbury, Chatham, Dartford, Gillingham, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells. Now, three people aged 39, 41 and 44 have been locked up for a total of more than 15 years. Body cameras worn by police captured the moment Lena Wang was arrested in Cambridge.
What's your name?
Lena.
Lena Wang. Lena, okay. Lena, we have a search warrant. Search is premise information to elicit the sex trade, okay? Listen to my predictions, what's going to happen.
We'll go in here so you can actually listen to me and I'll just take a hold of your wrist.
Come this way. Come this way.
What's happened?
Back and through? She's got something going, that's the phones.
Yeah.
A man's been charged with robbery after a victim was reportedly attacked with a knife at their home in Maidstone. The suspect posed as a delivery driver and turned up at a property near the A20 Ashford Road last month. A man's thumb was nearly severed before the robber left with cash. A 36-year-old has been remanded in custody. Two suspected drug dealers have been charged after police seized over a kilogram of cocaine, heroin and cannabis in Thanet. Officers raided a property on Adrian Square in Westgate last Sunday. And follow Kent Online on socials to see pictures of two men police are hunting following a robbery in Broadstairs. Staff at a shop on the retail park were told to hand over goods by one of them, who typed a threatening message on his phone. Now, next today, the MP for Dover and Deal is urging the Conservatives and Reform UK to drop their posturing over asylum issues. Mike Tapp says Labour is taking action by using counter-terror powers to disrupt people's smuggling networks. He was speaking yesterday during Prime Minister's questions in the Commons.
While the last government resorted to damaging keyboard diplomacy, this government is leading, bringing 40 nations together this week to tackle illegal immigration. Yeah. Like the Prime Minister, I've seen firsthand how counter-terror powers can disrupt threats before lives are lost. That same approach is essential in dismantling the smuggling networks, Mr. Speaker. Does he agree? It's time the Conservatives and Reform drop the posturing, put national security first, and backed our borders bill.
Well, I mean, the party opposite tried an open borders experiment. We are now tackling illegal migration. They talked about flights, Mr. Speaker. We've already removed 24,000 people with no right to be here. Under their Rwanda scheme, which was only ever supposed to return, I think, 300 people a year, that what we've achieved in 9 months would have taken them 80 years. We've replaced a gimmick with a real deterrent.
And you heard the response there too from Sir Keir Starmer. Figures show last month more than 4,500 people crossed the Channel to Kent in small boats.
Kent Online reports.
There's a fresh appeal for information 30 years after the murder of a baby girl whose body was found in a lake in Ashford. Despite an extensive investigation at the time and again in 2011 when more DNA was gathered, the parents of baby April have never been identified. A cold case team think advances in science could eventually lead to a breakthrough. A man who was seen abandoning a stolen Range Rover near Dartford has been jailed. Ben Gardner left the scene on a moped after travelling to the Hawley area last July. The 20-year-old from Wallace Park in Northfleet also admitted shoplifting and has been locked up for a year. A drug dealer from Herne Bay has been told to pay back more than £35,000 in cash and designer goods or face extra time behind bars. Tom Wildish is serving 6 years and 4 months for supplying cocaine. Financial investigators found the 42-year-old from Beacon Hill earned more than £100,000 from his crimes. Next today, we can hear from the brother of a Medway woman who's hoping to continue her legacy of helping others detect breast cancer early. 29-year-old Leonie Botton passed away last June following a 16-month battle with the disease, which spread to her liver. Jamie Botton says her campaign to raise awareness should continue. Well, I've been chatting to Jamie about his wonderful sister and what he's doing to help raise awareness and money for charity.
Leonie, I love to describe her as she was the youngest of our family, and she was the smallest but largest part of the family jigsaw puzzle, if that makes sense. She was the youngest, but she was, you know, just full of life and character. And yeah, without her, we're missing something that is just irreplaceable, really.
And we have spoken about Leonie on the news before because she was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was incredibly young, wasn't she?
She was, yeah. I think she was 28 when she was diagnosed, and we lost her at 29.
And tell us a bit about her fight. She was incredibly courageous. She was trying to get the best treatment possible, wasn't she?
She was, yeah. So quite early on into her diagnosis, we were advised it was incurable. So as a family, we done everything we could to sort alternative treatments that the NHS wouldn't provide, and went down every rabbit hole we could to save her life, you know. And in that 16-month battle, we saw just how much fight such a tiny person had in her. And, you know, I'm sure we didn't see the true side of what was going on inside her head at the time, but the way she tackled everything head on was just so admirable, really. She's constantly promoting awareness for others to get themselves checked, so that, you know, try and stop them being in the same position. You know, watched her take injections and needles like 20 times a day, constantly, like she was a pincushion. And just constantly head on, like taking it all in her stride, obviously scared and worried about what could happen. Just the bravest of souls, really.
Yeah, as you say, really inspirational. And obviously that message is so, so important for women and men to be checking their bodies and to, you know, to report anything that's perhaps a little bit unusual. What are you hoping to achieve with all of the fundraising that you're doing, Jamie? Because I know you want to raise awareness as well as raising money, don't you?
I do, yes. So Leonie wanted to raise awareness. There was a period before she got really ill. That she was at the gym with me and she said, no, I'm going to get better. I'm going to run a half marathon. And that was going to be the start of it. And while she was doing that, she was going to spread the awareness, make sure people get checked. And when they get told they're too young for a mammogram, which is just disgusting, that they push back on that and they make sure they get that service that everyone deserves, really. So obviously she can't do that now. And now I just feel like it's upon me to carry that forward for her. So I'm trying to raise as much awareness as I can. And I feel the best way for me to do this personally is through these fitness events, which are far from easy.
Having done just a half marathon, Jamie, I know how tough they are. I mean, how is all the training going? You've done one of the marathons already, haven't you?
I have, yeah. So I finished the Barcelona marathon 3 weeks ago. I've got 7 this year and the next one is next Sunday in Paris. Body's still trying to recover from Barcelona. It's not easy because I struggle with an inflammatory form of arthritis that flares at any time, which makes it even more difficult. But I know I can push through that pain barrier for the wider cause, really.
And have you got a goal of how much money you want to raise, Jamie, or is that kind of that's an aside, really? Is raising awareness and anything you can raise to help with research, etc., is a bonus?
That's right, yeah. I mean, I've set a personal target of trying to achieve £10,000 by the end of this year, but really I feel like this is going to be a never-ending target. As long as my body and mind can carry me through, I'll keep going. And the funds I'm raising are for Against Breast Cancer. They're a not-for-profit charity. And before Leonie got ill and was talking about half marathon, she wanted to make sure that she could raise money for a charity that doesn't just focus on treatments for people that are already recovered. It was more a secondary cancer charity that really focuses on, you know, can we find a cure for this? And Against Breast Cancer do that. They research to improve detection, treatment and increase survival after breast cancer diagnosis. People can support in a number of ways. Obviously, there's the Just Giving page that Kent Online have put a link out for. There's also the Instagram page that kind of tracks the progress and keeps spreading awareness. That's at In Running Memory on Instagram. You know, any likes, comments, shares, they all help. If people can't donate, then a share is greatly appreciated.
Jamie has incredibly already raised more than £4,000 for the Against Breast Cancer charity. And if you head to Kent Online, you can find that link to his Just Giving page.
Kent Online reports.
Almost 800 people have signed a petition against plans to name a Faversham footpath after a forgotten queen. The town council want to call the footway near the Grammar School and St Mary's Church Queen Matilda Place. It's known locally as Shooting Meadows, but that's never been official. Well, a formal decision's expected to be made later this year. Shareholders at Margate-based toy company Hornby have overwhelmingly backed a motion to return to private ownership. Bosses want to remove it from the stock market so they can make decisions more easily. The firm's been carrying out a restructuring plan to try and maintain profits. Critically endangered eels have been found in a part of Kent where energy bosses want to lay an underwater cable linking the county with Suffolk. The SeaLink project would involve building an electricity converter station on Minster Marshes, not far from Sandwich and Pegwell Bay. Kent Wildlife Trust say the discovery highlights their ecological significance. A charity that supports the work of a special care baby unit in Kent has launched its biggest ever campaign to raise £250,000. The Oliver Fisher Trust is marking its 40th birthday this year as well. Well, the neonatal unit of the same name at Medway Maritime Hospital cares for around 1,300 babies every year. I've been chatting to Hannah Grout, who's from the charity.
It is, in fact, the biggest campaign that we have ever launched, and it is the ICE Cream campaign, IC standing for intensive care. So the intensive care ward within the neonatal unit is where the sickest and most poorly babies are looked after. And it just is in need of a refurb and a revamp. Medical technologies having moved on. And we want to support the NHS in making sure that the best of the best is available for that.
And tell us a bit about the ward and how many babies it can look after and the sort of equipment you're looking to upgrade.
The intensive care ward, which is where we're aiming to put this money, has really bespoke and unique equipment to this intensive care environment, namely being the gantry system. So the gantries run all the electrics and the oxygen and all that really important stuff that babies in an incubator need. And that's been there for 25 years since it was all purpose built in 1999. And medical technology moves on, things get smaller, we have more monitors, for example, all the different bits and pieces that you can have, and including now mums using the space because they can breastfeed by the side of their incubators and they can have electronic breast pumps to help them. So it's refreshing that and making sure that we have the outlets available and making sure that we have that high end level of availability and the space that parents and families and medical staff need to do their job.
But of course, this isn't going to come cheap, is it? Tell us how much you're expecting the refurb to cost.
The refurb at the moment is looking in excess of £400,000. And as the quotes come in and we decide that we can do that or we can do that, then obviously that amount will go up. We are here to support, as a charity, our wonderful NHS. We're so thankful for our NHS. It's what gives us a home. But we want to top it up. We know that there's that difference between public and private funding towards healthcare, and we consider it our privilege as a charity to be able to top up that funding. So we're aiming to raise £250,000 towards this project, so £250,000.
Does that sound pretty daunting when you say it out loud?
I mean, it gives me goosebumps. It is a tall order. Nobody is going to raise £250,000 by accident, are they? It takes planning, it takes effort. However, as a charity, we are so lucky. Our supporters are incredible. They help us raise a wonderful amount of money every year anyway to help us do the projects we've done in the past. So it is my greatest, not just hope, it's my greatest expectation almost that the people of our community around Kent and beyond will come together and help us hit this target. Because let's not forget, as part of the Kent, Surrey, Sussex neonatal network, we accept babies from all over the place. So we do have them come to us from those other counties. In fact, we quite regularly take people from Southend as well, breaching up into Essex. So we need to get this campaign out there far and wide, because the support that comes into the Oliver Fisher unit doesn't just affect Medway. It affects so many people.
Kent Online News.
A reminder to drivers, Operation Brock is now in place on the M20. The contraflow has been installed between Maidstone and Ashford for the duration of the Easter holidays. It's designed to try and keep traffic moving when it's particularly busy at the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel at Folkestone. Smaller buses are going to be used at park and ride sites in Canterbury as passenger numbers are still lower than before COVID. Stagecoach are swapping out their double-deckers for single-decker and even smaller hopper buses. Latest figures show the sites in Wincheap, New Dover Road and Sturry Road were used 20,500 times in February, a 10,000 drop on the same time in 2020. Even bigger cruise ships are going to be able to call at the Port of Dover in future. It's after £6 million of upgrade work to mooring facilities there was completed. It means some of the largest cruise ships in the world will be able to visit. A painting's going on display in Margate to mark 250 years since the birth of J.M.W. Turner. Waves Breaking on a Lee Shore was created by the artist in the town in 1840. You can see it at Turner Contemporary from this week. And finally, a Kent man who was held for 10 months after being captured by a guerrilla group in Colombia says the experience is still an inspiration to him. Tom Hartdyke was travelling with a friend near the border with Panama while hunting for rare orchids. Despite being threatened with death, Tom managed to come up with the idea of a world garden at his home of Lullingston Castle in Ainsford. He even sketched it in his diary. Well, this year marks the 20th anniversary of that garden and it reopens to the public today. I've been chatting to Tom.
The other weekend, it was 25 years since me and a friend tried to cross this area on the Panamanian-Colombian border looking for new species of orchids. Idiots. And we got ourselves kidnapped by this Colombian guerrilla group. We should never have been there in the first place. But after being kidnapped, 10 months in total, we were kidnapped for 3 months into our captivity, they said, "You've got 5 hours before we shoot you." And I started dreaming up the world garden in the centre pages of my diary.
I mean, you must have thought during that time, Tom, that this world garden is never going to exist because you literally didn't know if you were going to get out of there. How terrifying was it at the time? I mean, looking back now, you must sometimes think it was all a bit of a dream, really.
It was petrifying. And it's as if I'm talking about somebody else. I mean, I cannot believe that we got through it. And I cannot believe that we were silly enough to go. And I cannot believe that we survived, especially that day when they said they were going to execute us. But the garden, although I didn't believe I was really going to fulfill my dream because they said they were going to kill us, but it just kept me going. It distracted me from the thought of the terrifying circumstances around us and the thought of death. It literally was a fantastic distraction. And I know gardening's therapeutic, but this is absolutely ridiculous. It was a way of complete, pure and utter botanical escapism. And it saved my life. Dreaming up the garden during captivity saved my life.
When you got back home, how even more determined were you to bring that to fruition and see it become reality and then in time invite people to come and have a look at it?
I couldn't have been more determined. If I could survive that experience in Colombia, I could do anything. And my dad said, "Tom, you're trying to develop a miniature map of the world with 7,000 different types of plant in a cold, frosty valley in Kent. It's a very silly idea, Tom." And he was right. It's a very silly idea. But I was determined to do it. I still think of that AK-47 pointed at my head with 5 hours to live. I can survive that. I can do this garden. It is quite a challenge, as Dad pointed out, in a cold valley in Kent. But to see it to the maturity that it is today is absolutely fabulous. And I always draw, whatever day you've had, however many hailstones have hit you on the head, however many times you've been stabbed by a cactus, or you've dug the biggest hole in the world with a pickaxe that's taken all day to do, I think back to Colombia and draw on that. I can do anything.
You've got, as you say, thousands of plants. Is there one that is your particular favourite?
I think within the cactus house, it's the mother-in-law's cushions, they're called. It's a very yellow, spiny barrel cacti, so like a sort of miniature sort of globe. They are fantastic en masse as well. We've got ones that 12 of them that were planted in 1953 as very small plants somewhere else that were donated to us as rather large plants. They're superb. But my favourite has to be an orchid in our miniature orchid house, and it's called Dracula Vampira. That's its actual botanical name. And yes, when it comes out at Halloween, it really does look like Dracula. It's a very spooky orchid, but orchids are number one, really.
Now, of course, we can come back and have a look at the garden. You're opening up again early April. Tell us when we're going to be able to come along and have a wander around.
We're so excited for our 20th anniversary this year. We really are. I can't tell you. But the 3rd of April onwards, from Thursdays to Sundays, right through to the end of October for Halloween, we're open. And we have lots of special events on as well. And we can't wait for this season to start. I cannot wait because I love doing the garden. As you know, I get very enthused about the world of plants, but to be able to share it with visitors for the days that we are open is absolutely the icing on the cake.
Thanks so much to Tom for sharing his story. If you head to lullingstoncastle.co.uk, you can find opening dates and times, or you can follow them on Instagram.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket and the new England women's head coach believes she's taking on a team with lots of potential. Former Kent captain Charlotte Edwards has replaced John Lewis following their 16-0 Ashes thrashing in Australia over the winter. But Charlotte's told Sky Sports News the players aren't as bad as that result suggests.
It was a disappointing winter. I don't think 16-0 reflects probably where the England team are at. But what we do need is to have some hard work now going into the English summer. and I'm looking forward to that. I think it's a fresh start for me, for the team.
And it's been confirmed a Kent Basketball Club won't be able to move back to their original home after it was sold. Swale Hawks have been using the Abbey School in Faversham since the closure of Newhouse Sports Centre in Sittingbourne. They had been hoping to return, but it's gone under the hammer at auction. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. And whilst you're on the website today, don't forget to check out our latest Eat My Words food review. We'll be back with the podcast tomorrow.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.